Hello and blessings to you today. When it comes to Jesus, there is no shortage of opinion on who he is, who he was, what he said, and what he did. We all seem to have an idea, but do any of those ideas actually come close to who he really was and what he really did? How human was he? Did he ever learn? In this series, we're going to be looking at the myth versus the reality of who Jesus is, starting with what happened when he was 12 years old. So go ahead and take a listen.
It became a marketing juggernaut. It was put on bracelets and t-shirts and bumper stickers, and there was even a CD that was made centered on that theme of what would Jesus do? And I'm sure that there were a lot of other things that were marketed with those four letters. You know, I bought that CD and I had a couple of the shirts and I had the bracelets. I bought it and I bought into it. Now, while it became kind of a cultural phenomenon among people my own age, I say it's an age-old question because, aside from the marketing, it's a question that I do believe existed in one form or another since Jesus ascended back up into heaven. On the surface, it seems like a perfectly good question to ask. What would Jesus do in this situation? But as we dig deeper into that question, I think it really reveals more about our own biases and how we view Jesus than perhaps maybe how he actually is. Because we all have differing cultural views of who Jesus is. In our own history, there's a man by the name of Thomas Jefferson. He was one of the principal writers of the Declaration of Independence, and he was the driving force behind writing the Constitution, and he was one of our very earliest presidents in the United States. He also came out with his own edited version of the Bible that is simply referred to as the Thomas Jefferson Bible, where he actually physically cut up portions of a Bible, removing all the supernatural elements from it and leaving all the good sayings and the moral teachings and such. But when you do that, when you actually physically cut out the words that Jesus spoke and the things that he did, you might be removing a whole lot more than what you intended, because, you know, if you read your Bible, there's writing on both sides of the pages, and you try to remove one, you can't do it without affecting what else is written about Jesus or the things that he did. What's the difference between actually editing the Bible to suit our sensibilities and using some of what Jesus says and does, but ignoring the rest? Is there really effectively any difference in that? Throughout his life and his ministry and his teaching, Jesus' own disciples wanted him to overthrow the Roman government. They wanted him to reestablish Israel as a separate kingdom. He was teaching that the kingdom of God is near, and to them that meant a reestablishment of Israel and a restoration of David's ancestors ascending to the throne. And though Christ was a king, as he told Pilate when Pilate asked him, he also said he was not the kind of king that Pilate or anybody else would recognize. Jesus declared as much when he said that his kingdom is not of this world. It was not defined by geography or upheld through military strength. The fact that the king of this kingdom was arrested and facing execution all the while telling his followers not to raise their swords to defend him, should sound pretty strange to any type of king or kingdom or prime minister or president or anything like that that we would think of today. The things Jesus did were a threat to the way things have always been done. And because of that, it might be easy to think that he did whatever he wanted, answering only to God the Father. But this is something I think we need to explore. The specific passage that I want us to look at today is in Luke chapter 2, verses 40 through 52. So if you happen to have your Bibles there with you, Luke chapter 2, verses 40 through 52. The child continued to grow and become strong, increasing in wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he became 12, he went up there according to the custom of the feast. And as they were returning, after spending the full number of days, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. But his parents were unaware of it, but supposed him to be in the caravan and went a day's journey. And they began looking for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem looking for him. Then, after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when they saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us this way? Behold, your father and I have been anxiously looking for you." And he said to them, "Why is it that you were looking for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand the statement which he had made to them. And when he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he continued in subjection to them. And his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Now, there is a lot in this passage that absolutely needs to be pointed out. The first thing is that Jesus grew up in a household of very religiously observant and pious parents. In the two verses, one of which we read that precede this passage, we read, "When they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord," this is after he was presented in the temple for the first time. "When they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own city of Nazareth." This was a couple that was extremely observant of the law. They were quite religious. You could say that they followed all of the customs, everything that was spelled out to them perfectly. They held to it. The next verse obviously goes on to say, "The child continued to grow and to become strong, increasing in wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." Jesus saw the example that Joseph and Mary set. He understood. He began to understand religious devotion. Growing up in that environment may not have been too much different than the type of environment that you, if you grew up in a household that went to church on Sundays and you were given every children's music, piece of music or video series or anything like that. I had McGee and Me, I had the Donut Hole Repair Club, and I had all of that. Salty the Singing Songbook, Charity Church Mouse. That was the environment that I grew up in. I can sympathize and empathize with Jesus here and the type of household that he would have grown up in. And if you grew up in a household like that, where you were in church every weekend, you would understand this too. From the time that he was presented in the temple to this incident, he experienced devotion. He observed it, and he learned from it, and he grew from it. This, if you can wrap your mind around God in the flesh, Emmanuel, Jesus, the promised Messiah, all that God is, Jesus was. But there he is as a boy, and he is learning, and he is growing. This sets up the passage that we read next, the passage that we read today. Being as observant as they were, they went to Jerusalem for the Passover feast, where they stayed the allotted time, 7 days. And then Joseph and Mary and the group that they traveled with began heading back to Nazareth. That they went a day's journey without realizing that Jesus wasn't with them may sound strange to us. But please understand, it was quite traditional for the men to travel in one group and the women and children to travel in another group. In this passage, it mentions that Jesus is 12 years old. This is at the time of his bar mitzvah. This is at the time where he would go from being a child under the authority of his parents, where they were responsible for his learning, to the time where he would have to transition into taking the law in for himself, to be accountable to the law, to learn and to grow under his own initiative. And because of that, he could, at that point, travel with the men of the group. Or if he had his friends around with him who might have been a little bit younger, it was completely customary for him to travel with the women and the children as well. So their religious devotion, Mary might have thought, oh, this is Jesus' first opportunity to travel with Joseph. So that's where he is. And Joseph may have been thinking, well, he's got all of his cousins, you know, around with him, and he's traveling with them, and he's traveling with Mary. So it shouldn't really surprise us that they could go that long without realizing Jesus was with them. But when they realized it, they took the trip back, and they were searching for him for 3 days. Now, naturally, they were worried. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, and what they saw him doing was, by all accounts, incredible. Again, it's not that Jesus was necessarily out of place. Again, being a man now, according to the custom of the law, he could go into the court where the teachers of the law would be, and the various rabbis would be, and those who have learned a lot from their own experience and their own study. And he is learning from them. And he is answering their questions. And he is asking them questions. And they are astonished by the depth that he has already established. That he is answering questions and he is asking them. This 12-year-old, I mean, this is beyond incredible. Imagine for a moment the relief, but also the frustration that Mary must have expressed to Christ, to Jesus at this point. Why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been looking all over for you. You weren't with us in the caravan. You weren't heading back up to Nazareth. You're right here. We could have lost you. And Jerusalem, being the feast city that it is and the pilgrimage city, there were a lot of people around. Jesus' own response, though, to her is interesting. Mary and Joseph have been told numerous times by both angels and by Simeon and by Anna in the temple that Jesus was the long-awaited and promised Messiah. He was not going to be an ordinary child. His conception was miraculous, for as religiously observant as both Mary and Joseph were, as often as they would pray, as often as they would observe the feast, as often as they probably went to the synagogue and Joseph read from the Torah and he led his household in that way, they had forgotten that one thing that had been revealed to them over and over and over and over again. That this was no ordinary child. This was Emmanuel, the Son of God, the Word of God made flesh. Now granted, he's only 12 years old at this point, and he hadn't turned, you know, the water into a juice box at this point. But this still serves as a reminder that he is not ordinary, and he is saying, didn't you know that I had to be in my Father's house? Now, it's not exactly the best translation of that. The Greek is really hard to translate there. It would be better to say, though, that he was saying, didn't you know that I should be going about my Father's business or in my Father's business? Along with that, Jesus' response shows that he made the choice to remain behind in Jerusalem at the temple. To say, did you not know that I had to be in my Father's house, on the one hand is a reminder to Mary and Joseph that Joseph is not his father. Didn't have to take any lie detector tests and appear on national television to figure that one out. He is Emmanuel. He is the Son of God. It's only right that he be in his Father's house, doing his Father's business. The temple also is the symbolic representation of the presence of the Lord. They didn't have the Holy Spirit poured out on everybody at this point. We did not become the living temples that we are now at this time. Even though the priests were political appointments by Herod, who was not exactly the good, kingly, godly ruler, this temple still symbolized to the people the very presence of God in their midst. It was only natural that we see a glimpse of what his ministry would be about here. That as a child, even, he's answering questions, and he's asking questions, and he's learning, and he's beginning to teach. And everybody who is listening to him is astonished. This signified that Jesus was willingly putting the will of God the Father ahead of his earthly considerations. But with that being said, he left the temple and he went with Mary and Joseph back to Galilee. He willingly placed himself in subjection to them. And along with that, he advanced in his wisdom and he took the initiative of continuing to grow. If Jesus can continue to grow in stature with both God and man, what makes us think that we have it all figured out? In making mythology, we like to create for ourselves persons that somehow stand apart from and above the rest of humanity. If you look back at the classic mythologies of ancient Greece, you would see that Hercules had great strength, and Achilles was nearly invincible when it came to battle. In our own world, we make ordinary people out to be something more than human almost. Think of some of the greatest athletes that you might have witnessed who have become bigger than the sport that they played. There's Babe Ruth, Joe DiMaggio, and Ted Williams when it came to baseball. Magic Johnson and Michael Jordan when it came to basketball. Joe Montana, Barry Sanders in football. And there are a whole lot of others that can be named. Even in our history, in our collective history, you've got characters like John Henry, Johnny Appleseed, Davy Crockett, Paul Bunyan. These near mythological creatures that may have existed. Well, Davy Crockett did exist. But they've taken on a status that sets them above and beyond and almost gets them to be a little bit more than human. But what is extraordinary about this snapshot of Jesus' adolescence is that it's not only the age at which he demonstrated this, but please understand that everything Jesus would embody as God in the flesh is on display right here. It is submission, obedience, impeccable wisdom, and questions that get right to the heart. But he continued to grow. He experienced life as you or I would. He learned. He who spoke everything that exists into existence. When we read the very first chapter of the Gospel of John, it is through the spoken word, through Christ, that all things are made, and nothing that has been made was made without him. The wisdom of the universe that is completely embodied, and the knowledge of the universe that is completely embodied in the person of Jesus, is there as a 12-year-old, and the scripture tells us that he continued to grow and to learn and to grow in stature with God and with men. We tend to think of Jesus as this person that is so much more than human, but this is a very human thing that the Bible is describing. He experienced life as any of us would. He learned. Did Jesus use his divinity to remove himself from earthly authority? Did he justify staying behind by saying he knew everything and had no more use for his earthly parents? No. He was fully in submission to God, the Father, and he put himself into submission to his earthly parents, Joseph and Mary. And because he did that, he returned with them to Nazareth. Now, if Jesus submitted to authority, being the Word of God made flesh, what is our excuse to not submit to authority? If Jesus could continue to grow and learn, what's our excuse not to? If God wants us to reflect his character, shouldn't we be doing the things that Jesus did and not imposing on him the interpretation that we come up with for the things that he did? Religious devotion, it is all very well and good, but it does not replace acting according to what is revealed. And if the point of the Christian walk is to become like Christ, we certainly can't be doing anything that isn't revealed to us that Christ did in Scripture. We need to be acting as Christ did. He submitted to his earthly parents. He continued to grow. He continued to learn. As Christians, our top priority is not to make sure that we're doing things the way that they have always been done, but to make sure that what we are doing is in line with what has been revealed and what is in line with the very character of Jesus. This is a very human moment in Jesus' life. He grew, he learned, he submitted, he continued to grow, he continued to learn, he continued to submit. Let's take a few moments and bow in a word of prayer.